guys, welcome back to another podcast episode. I know I talked about doing the fourth house, which I will definitely get to because the fourth house has just become so interesting to me since learning more about astrology and the meaning behind the houses, and then also when you pair it with a particular tarot card. So I will definitely make sure I get to the fourth house. But before we get there, I do want to talk about the Justice card. I know I'm jumping kind of like a little bit all over the place when it pertains to not doing them in order, but I rather do them randomly instead of do it like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, I just randomly pick what card I feel we need to talk about next, and then that's what I go towards. So like I said, this is going to be the episode for the Justice card. So make sure you grab some time, or if you want to listen to this whenever you're in the car or cleaning up, whatever. We're going to learn a little bit something about this Justice. So the Justice card is one of the four cardinal virtues in classical European philosophy and Roman Catholicism. These concepts were also borrowed from the Persians. And then at that point, I'm assuming that the philosophers just made it their own. They tweaked it based off of their own theories, what they saw during that particular society. But anyway, so when it pertains to the virtues, justice itself, it is moderation between selflessness and selfishness. The four cardinal virtues are justice, prudence, fortitude, and temperance. Technically, there are actually seven virtues, which include three of the theological virtues, which would be faith, hope, and love. Look at that. I mean, maybe my parents were onto something when they named me Faith, but I really don't think I want to give them that much credit. Just kidding. Maybe they were onto something. Okay, now the thing is, when it pertains to the justice card, justice is what needs to be done. Fortitude is the willpower to push forward with it. And in this particular instance, the reason why I am mentioning justice and fortitude, because fortitude is also mentioned alongside the Chariot, which would be the number 7 in the tarot, in the major arcana. Okay, the number 7 is tied to the Chariot. There has been some speculation around that in terms of not tying it to the Chariot. But when I get to the Chariot, I will do my research and see if the Chariot actually matches up with Cancer or if it matches up with something else. But that's the whole point. The Chariot represents the fortitude. It represents the willpower, which is the basic groundwork, or the basic meaning for the Chariot is about being the hero. Persevering through hard times, realizing that you have to keep going regardless of what life has thrown at you, regardless of what has happened. It's the mindset of realizing that, you know what, life goes on, and not necessarily in a bad way. It's just a matter of I have to keep moving, because I don't know if this has like been a saying, but it almost makes you think of like when you stop moving, that may be whenever you die. Or think about it. I've heard this before from like elders, when they're just like, you know, as soon as an older person retires from their job, and then boom, death may not be that far off. Unfortunately, I've heard that from elders. I don't know how true that is, but either way. Okay, so like I said, fortitude would be the Chariot in this instance. And when you have the Chariot and the Justice card together, that is willpower to the 10th degree. Yeah, we may definitely look at the Strength card in that way, which is totally fine. But you have to think about it. The Justice card is seeing things objectively. And the Chariot, the energy there is just pushing forward, that realizing that, oh my God, this is life. This is happening. Okay, I'm going to try to make this work in my favor. That is ultimate willpower to me. Even whenever I do tarot readings now, I really don't get that combination, if at all. I think I can literally count on one hand how many times I've seen the Chariot and the Justice right on top of each other. Not two lines down, not three doors down, right on top of each other. I think it only came up maybe for like a couple people, because it still goes back to what I talked about, that energy. The struggle to step into the true matter of the Justice card is difficult for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. Some people get it, A lot of people don't. So when you do get it and you combine the two, you're almost like you're unstoppable, and not in a way where it's like you're taking over the world. You're unstoppable in a manner of, you know, you will be like, I'm going to make some shit happen. And it ends up happening because you understand the fortitude, and you understand the need for justice. So that's just my personal opinion when it pertains to that. Now, it was said that the absence of the seven virtues in someone would give rise to their opposites, which would be the seven deadly sins. Now, this is depicted in the Seven of Cups. If you haven't looked at the Seven of Cups yourself, you can see in each cup would represent the seven deadly sins laid out in the Bible. You just have to really look at it. So the Seven of Cups in a manner could coincide with the devil energy, which... I'm going to be honest, not really a fan, but also the Seven of Cups can be that energy where you are the jack of all trades, master of none. Why? Because you're too consumed. You're possibly too trapped into maybe things that maybe you shouldn't be in. Like, you can be good at something, but it may not necessarily be what the lane that you're supposed to be in, you know? At that point, where you're just trying anything and everything, it could be like, where's the morals? Where's the values? You know, some lanes you're just not supposed to cross over because that's not you. But when you're trying to do every single thing and you know that's not you, boom, you're in Seven of Cups. Okay. Now, the sins are considered deadly because they lay at the root of every other sin. Hence why I associated or put the Seven of Cups kind of like in the same box framework as the devil. Because also the Seven of Cups does represent Scorpio. Scorpio and Capricorn have been said to both signify the devil tarot card. I don't know if I talked about that or not, but either way. So the Justice card in every deck is always depicted as female, okay? She carried the scales of logic and, most importantly, the Sword of Justice, which is one of the four suit signs of the Minor Arcana. Now, the card of Justice is a masculine energy, and I'm pretty sure you can see why, okay? Justice is, like I said before, what needs to be done. Not always doing what's in favor of everyone else, which could also be why a lot of times we may not have understood why our parents did what they did, or why we had to be subject to like rules or punishments or whatever. Doesn't make it right, but you know, it's still a matter of justice is going to do what needs to be done. And I'm not talking about if you're like disciplined in the worst way. I'm talking about if it's just like, well, you can't go over there because I know they don't have rules or structure. And you may give pushback like, what do you mean? Those are my friends. That's parents being in justice. Like, nuh-uh, you know. But sometimes we don't see it that way because at that point, what? We're just into the selfishness side of the picture instead of realizing that, okay, I need to remove how I'm feeling from the situation and look at this more objectively or subjectively, whichever one you want to call it. Okay, so having more and having one's fair share is attached to or associated when it pertains to the justice. Justice is closely related to the virtue chariot because it regulates relationships with others. When the justice card steps in when it pertains to relationships, it's doing what needs to be done, not what you want to do. And a lot of people don't understand that. And also, the justice is not swift. Maybe in a way you could say maybe the justice is calculating. Or, it may come off as calculating, but really at the end of the day, I'm just sitting back observing the situation so I can see what needs to be done next to dead this situation or to move it forward, whatever needs to happen. So when justice shows up, you have to know that, you know what? What was done was what needed to be done, even if I don't necessarily agree. And I feel like that is peak, you know, spirituality. I feel like that's just peak this whole shindig period, is doing what needs to be done, not necessarily what's popular or what's not necessarily like accepted by everyone. Which is why, like, the justice in its own manner could be misunderstood. Because it's like, I don't understand why you would, you like, let that happen in my life. Well, the justice don't owe you no explanation, because look, I sat back and I looked at the situation from all angles and I made a decision based off of what's best for the situation. I don't care about your feelings right now. You can cry about it later. That is justice. Okay. So moving down more into like kind of like the history behind it and like the philosophy behind it, Aristotle said that justice consists in a certain equality by which the just and definite claim of another, neither more nor less, is satisfied, which just goes back to the original point about what's done gets, what needs to be done will get done. That is the point of his entire quote to me when it pertains to justice. Okay, so each person receives what they are entitled to, but for a lot of people, what they receive may be considered unequal. But everyone is not entitled to receive the same thing. The justice card understands that. If everyone was supposed to stand on equal footing, there would be no middle, lower, or upper class. You could even say in a manner that the justice card is perfectly depicted by class systems. I'm pretty sure in every society there is a class system. Peak justice energy right there. Okay. Hence also why the scales represent balance. Again, another energy of, I don't have to explain myself to you. Just trust in what I'm doing, because I'm doing what I feel like needs to be done, even if we don't understand it. Now, of course, certain situations I completely understand, like that's fucked up. I got that. Okay. But the gist when it comes to, you know, just people in general needing to understand that, I mean, even moving forward, when we talk about future, let's be honest, everybody's not entitled to the same outcome as somebody else. And I think we get stuck in that even now, thinking every single person in this entire world can be rich. Who's to say that's even true? The justice may argue that. I may not, but the justice may argue that. Okay. Now, Aristotle created the concept of equity. Equity is how we are supposed to be governed when it comes to the law. And this concept is used in today's courts, or at least it should. The definition of equity is a particular body of law that was, Equity is a particular body of law that was developed in the English Court of Chancery. It exists in domestic law, both in civil law and in common law systems, and in international law. The tradition of equity begins in antiquity with the writings of Aristotle and with Roman law. Later in civil law systems, equity was integrated in the legal rules, while in common law systems, it became an independent body of law. Now, I know what you're thinking. Complete baloney, considering the fact that, you know, of course, like everybody has a right to, everybody is entitled a right to a fair trial. Okay, so in this particular case, in the modern world, the whole point of justice from way back was supposed to be, you know, based off of, like I said, balancing the scales. Now it probably has gotten a little bit out of hand, because we're leaving justice in the hands of human beings who make mistakes, which further murkies up the water when it pertains to why would they do that? That is unfair. Well, humans are going to be humans. We don't have any control over other human beings, you know, which doesn't make any sense, like I said, when it pertains to just the car itself. But that's not originally what it was meant for. It's gotten out of hand. You know, what it's like in matter of, I believe in the Bible, it's like, not putting your faith in man or whatever the situation is. That's what we did. We put our faith in man, especially when it pertains to the justice system, and it didn't get upheld, because also justice energy tied to Venus. So you think about shady dealings, money under the table, feeling like that people who have money don't necessarily get a fair trial. But even if we take a step further, when we think about back to the time, possibly during Aristotle and things of that nature, who's to say that wasn't a thing back then? Even though justice was supposed to be created where everybody is pretty much treated as equal under the eyes of the law, when you think back to where this came from, I'm pretty sure during that time there was a class system as well. So what if the same things applied? I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm just giving you the history here. Now, Roman philosopher Marcubius saw justice. Marcubius is a 15th century philosopher, by the way. He saw justice as existing on four different planes or levels. So justice in Christianity. The just man, often mentioned in the sacred scriptures, is distinguished by a habitual right thinking and the uprightness of his conduct towards his neighbor. Like, you know how they say in kindergarten, treat others how you want to be treated. That could say that it was possibly derived from the concept behind justice, okay? Now, in Colossians 4:1, St. Paul counsels masters, I know this one is bad, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, realizing that you too have a master in heaven. Of course, owning slaves is bad, but of course, during that time, they felt like that it was an excuse for that. But the principle, if we scratch out the slave part, still stands. Treat people justly and fairly, because you too will have to meet your maker at some point. And justice for you may not be so swift, but guess what? It's going to be what needs to be done. And this is, I feel like, a universal concept when it pertains to anybody, you know? So subconsciously, this is just my opinion here. Subconsciously, if you believe that there is a stern figure at the gates who will dictate if you go to heaven or hell when you die, then you may be believing in moral justice. And I'm talking about when this pertains to Christianity. Christians believe in God or subconsciously see God and enact the justice card, meaning that, you know, they won't go there because, like, oh, you know, God's watching. I could be served my due justice if I do this, if I go into the Seven of Cups. This, again, is just an example when it pertains to how justice relates to Christianity. Okay, so this can keep Christians from committing sin or being in the mindset that God is always watching. But he could be. Some people may not believe so. It doesn't matter. Again, this is just based off of this particular religious group. Okay, the justice card could dictate or even depict God in another form. But in this card, we just see him or them as justice, which, again, this could be a situation where, what if, in terms of Christianity, justice card is a extinction of God? Like, oh, I'm watching you. Don't do that. Like, justice card, like I said, could be the one at the gates. Like, I've been watching you. God himself may not necessarily have a chance to watch you, but I've been watching you closely. So with that being tied, like I said, into Christianity, you know, the justice card in a manner can serve as like a scare tactic for some people when it pertains to Christianity. Maybe that's why they use justice for this card within itself, because it could, if you believe in, you know, Christ, it could stop you in your tracks and be like, oh my God, stop. You're getting too close to the fray. You're getting too close to the gates. You know, you need to slow down, reverse, repent, all that stuff. That's just my personal opinion. Now, let's talk about the card itself, shall we? Card 11 indicates that the psychic laws of justice by which we advance according to our ability to understand the past depends on seeing the truth about ourselves and about life in general. Okay, the sword is an emblem of action. It points straight up, okay, indicating both resolve and the idea that wisdom is like a sword piercing through the illusion of events to find the deeper meaning, to find possibly the purpose. You know, it's like, what is the purpose of this? Why am I going through this? You know, so with the two edged, the sword signifies a choice. Okay. Even again, if you look at the card itself, you can see the edge, how it's divided straight down the middle. So you can, in a way, can see both sides. Okay. So again, peak justice energy. Life requires us to make decisions. At the same time, each decision, once it's been made, cannot be changed. Hence why you may hear me saying, the path, it happened. You can't go back and change. Or you'll hear anybody say that, or maybe not anybody, some. You can't go back and change what you did in the past. You have to do what? Peak justice. See the truth about yourself and also about life. Pierce through that illusion of trying to dump it off on somebody else for it to be, it's like, don't dump it off on your actions made me. No. Nobody made you do anything. Your actions resulted in your actions. Okay. Now, another thing when it pertains to justice, passivity doesn't necessarily mean justice. Justice is not intended to be a passive energy. It may seem like that may be a good idea to take a more passive approach, but that's not the point of justice. Passivity involves an action that isn't necessarily tied to this card. How can things work out or be different for you if you are just waiting for someone to guess that you need help or to guess that you need assistance or to just even ask you if you're okay? It's like, I'm not a mind reader. Not even the justice is a mind reader, okay? In the book of James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. It's the same thing when it pertains to the justice card. Can't nothing happen for you in the mode of passivity? Looking for a job, passivity ain't the way. Looking to figure out how somebody feels, passivity ain't the way. Now, if you fight through your passivity and you ask questions and you still get nothing, guess what you did? You satisfied your justice. You did what you felt like needed to be done within reason. You didn't get what you wanted. Now you realize that the justice has been served and what is done is done. You know, and it literally is, there is no room for other explanation as to why. Again, you don't get to ask me why. I made the decision based off of what needs to be done for you and all the parties involved. Now, things change when you try to take justice into your own hands, which would be why we have the courts, because people try to take justice in their own hands and somebody has to govern the body of people when they try to do crazy shit. Boom. Now, I give justice that because that makes sense. Now, first of all, the digits of number 11 add up to 2, but the number also signifies a higher version of the magician. The woman seated, because she normally is a woman, or it could be a man, because, you know, back then the men did wear wigs. So that is up for speculation. Now, the woman seated before two pillars with a veil between them suggests the high priestess. And you can see it if you go to the regular Rider-Waite, the same backdrop in the justice is the same exact one with the high priestess. The only difference is the high priestess has the pomegranates. She's trying to grow. I don't think I talked about it, but now that I'm thinking about the justice card more, the high priestess may even represent Eve in the garden of Adam and Eve's book of Genesis. When you think about it, with the pomegranates back there. And feminine energy is dark. Let's be honest. Okay? Feminine energy is dark, especially when we get pissed off. Especially whenever we feel like we've been served an injustice, the switch flips. Or when we want to do what we want to do because we just want to do what we want to do. We're not necessarily thinking about for the betterment of the group. We're not incorporating the selflessness part of the justice. It's just about, well, I see fruit over there. I want it. What's the big deal? Not thinking about how this can create a chain reaction for those behind us, the next generation. Okay, so with her red robe, her posture, the one arm up and one arm down, this will be what relates back to the magician. But also, true action arises from self-knowledge. Wisdom arises out of action, which is why I said passivity doesn't belong in the same sentence as the justice card, in my opinion. The color of the veil is purple. The emblem is of inner wisdom. And that would be referring to, you know, the thing that's like holding her cloak or robe or whatever it is together. The background, the crown, the hair, the scales, they're all yellow, signifying mental force. Even on this Rider-Waite car, even in the backdrop, it's yellow. So it matches how much inner force is behind her and is yet to be unveiled. The justice doesn't reveal all her secrets, but also, like I talked about before, the justice doesn't give you an explanation. Wisdom does not arise spontaneously. It grows. You grow into wisdom. You grow into your truth. You grow into, well, you're supposed to grow into who you are. Some people don't. Some people do. You know, justice indicates an understanding of that vision shown in the previous card, which will be the Wheel of Fortune, which I will get to later. Cause and effect. The way to understanding lies in responsibility. When we accept that every event in our lives has helped to form our characters and that in the future we will continue to create ourselves through actions, then the sword of wisdom will cut through the question marks that we have about why did this happen? Why couldn't this happen? Why couldn't I get this? Why couldn't I get that? You're in the eyes of the justice. And if you try to rebel against the justice, you got to understand there's consequences for your actions. Everybody has consequences for their actions. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how little money you make. Consequences don't skip you. You know, eventually they're going to get you. Now, this is why justice belongs in the center of our lives. Interestingly enough, the justice card is also the center card in the major arcana. If you were to lay them all out, if you lay them all out, 1 to 21, you will end up right in the middle at justice. The ego may be only a persona, a mask, but the mask can control us as long as we continue not to admit that we helped forge the mask. We helped make the mask that we put on. It wasn't nobody else. Because our actions are within our own control. The idea of responsibility for our own life does not imply any sort of invisible control over the world. It doesn't mean that if an earthquake destroys your house, you somehow willed this to happen for whatever hidden reason. But understanding includes accepting the limitations of your physical existence. Accepting what? Only you can control what you can control. The universe is weird as hell. It doesn't make a lot of sense most days. No individual can control what happens, but you can control what you do. You know? Now, like it or not, whatever you do, whatever you experience contributes to the development of your personality. Life demands that you respond to every event. What I say, this is, again, justice energy. It's not rooted in passivity. Okay? This is just the facts of life. Every situation is going to require some sort of response. Now, when we find the center of our lives, everything starts to make sense. Everything starts to come into balance. When all the opposites that include the past and the future come into balance, we are able to be free within who we are, ourselves. Many people wonder what the tarot can tell us about free will or any other type of spiritual practice. If the cards can predict what we will do, does that mean free will doesn't really exist? Not necessarily. The question arises from misunderstanding free will. We think of it as something simple and independent of the past. But at any moment, we think that we're free to do whatever it is we want to do. But our supposed free choices are governed by our past actions. If we don't understand ourselves, how can we expect to make a free will choice? Only by seeing and accepting the past can we free ourselves from it. And that could make sense why some people, when it comes to tarot, can just predict it on the dime. Because the people that may be coming to them are those who may be rooted in a misunderstanding of self. Not really learning from their past. So I can read you like a book. It's not going to take long. Because you're predictable based off of your inability to change what you've done in the past to give you a better future. When you do that, then we can talk about free will. Free will comes to play. I mean, free will's in play, you know, anyway. But it's still a matter of, you know how some people would say, I knew exactly what you were going to do. Because you're too damn predictable. It's easy to tell. It's easy to tell a snake from a fish. You know, but anyway, so a person may ask the cards about any particular situation. The cards will outline the consequences of some decision in terms of whether or not to go ahead with this love affair, or to start this new project, or get this new job, or this, this, that, and the third. But let us say that the cards will indicate disaster. Then all of a sudden, you don't see that. You don't hear what's going on. All of a sudden, that doesn't apply to you. You're above that, but for some reason, when it comes to anything new, you're all game. That's not how it works. Whoever is getting the reading has to realize that if the situation turned. Well, I would say this. They have to realize that you can't discard the bad and only take the good. Because then that means you're deep-rooted possibly in selfishness. You only care about what's going to be good for you. I mean, I know that probably sounds crazy, but you have to take the good with the bad. How will you grow? You don't want to take the bad? Oh, you don't like growing, do you? You don't like learning your lesson, do you? You like to live in a fantasy world of illusion that don't exist. You like to define justice. Justice probably shows up in reverse for you because that's what you like to defy. You like to defy justice just because you don't want to accept the part that life sucks. You don't always get what you want, but also everybody isn't on the same playing field. So what you feel like you deserve may not be reality. And that's why the justice is hardcore. This is a hard bitch. I mean, excuse me, Lord. She is hardcore, but it's within reason. It's like that parent that just like, oh, I just don't want to deal with you. But you know, at the end of the day, when you take a look back, that parent was fair. That parent did what they felt like was the right thing to do to keep this ship afloat. You know? So that's just something that has to be said, you know. And even with me doing readings, it happens over and over and over because you're doing the same thing over and over, not rooted in trying to figure out why does this keep happening? How can I change? How can I make me better so that the circumstance can be different? Most people don't want to take that time to do that. Because then that will require somebody telling you no. That will require somebody blowing up your fantasy world. Which I probably get hung at the cross for that. But I always said it from the beginning. Somebody has to do it. The world isn't necessarily what we made up in our minds. It's not all bad. It's not all good. It's rooted in balance. That's what its intent is for. Okay? But anyway, so this has been my podcast episode on the deep dive into the Justice card. I hope you did enjoy it as much as I enjoyed researching it. And just from me learning more about the Justice card, I'm going to be honest, as soon as I stopped doing my research, the aura of peace just came over me like, you know what? Whatever. I'm not saying whatever in a passivity. I'm saying whatever in a manner of you're going to do what you want to do and I can't stop that. So I have to learn how to be at peace with the decision that you made and also the decision that I made. Because it starts with me, it ends with me. I can choose not to do something if I want to. Yeah. I'm not dragged into it if I don't want to be. I mean, depending on the circumstances, depending on the situation. But most of the time, I decide when I want to start. I decide when I want to end it. That's me enacting in my justice. Now, when I am subject of injustice, you know, the devil card may be on my ass, but I can deal with that or try my best. But anyway, like I said, thank you so much for sticking around and tuning in for this week's podcast episode. Like I said, hope you liked it. Share with your friends, whatever. Come back and listen to it. Maybe let it lull you to sleep at night. But anyway, so yeah, thanks for sticking around, and I will see you on the next episode.